Good morning. Good morning, Lee. Good morning, Douglas. Good morning, everybody. Good to have you here. And all look very alert and bright. And we all had a very good day yesterday and a very lovely evening. I know a lot of you didn't make it, but a half or maybe a third made it into our conversation last night. I want to thank Diana for wonderfully chairing the conversation we had. It was really a lovely evening. So thank you very much, Diana. Much as Jerry did for us a couple of weeks back. Anyway, I'm now very pleased to turn this over to Ken, who will lead you in a discussion about building STB. Ken.
Well, good morning. I think you're about to try and do something that's never been done, as far as I know, in the history of the world. That is 160 people actually trying to devise their electoral system. Can it be done? Okay, Douglas says, sure. I think it can be. Quite how? That's a mystery. Well, we'll find out. And basically, what we've had is obviously a chance to talk about the various elements that go into an STB system. And I think what we want to try and do then is to see what people think. And is there some consensus on these basic points? We won't worry about for the kind of transfer rules if STV becomes a kind of the final chosen alternative. We'll have to kind of tack them in, but those are mostly technical rules about transfers and so on. And so we really have four big categories to deal with within that some variation. What we thought we would do is we'd have a kind of discussion about those, see if there are consensus on those various points, keep track of that, but also why. So if people on district magnitude think we need a district magnitude of 1 or 43 or 79, identify what those numbers might be, but also get some kind of sense of why the Assembly thinks that, so that if we come to write a recommendation which incorporates that, we can say a little bit about why we made these kinds of decisions. So our idea is just simply to kind of work through these, have discussions, see if we can have consensus on them, and see how far that gets us. So maybe we should start with the question of district magnitude, whether we want to talk about uniform or size. I mean, they are in some sense connected. But does anyone have notions about what we should be aiming for? Alan.
Ken, in our discussion group, it came up again if we were talking about the north and the district magnitude, and if we took three ridings and they went together and we wanted to make that a district magnitude of 5. Could that be done, or are we tied by some constitution or population quota that we need to meet?
I think that one should assume that we're tied by the Supreme Court's decisions on population quotas, and that the number of voters per elected member ought to be roughly equal from district to district. So if you're taking three districts and putting them together, you'd produce a district with a district magnitude of 3, I think. Anything else would be to kind of, I think, run in the spirit of what the courts have said about equality of the vote, and in the long term wouldn't wash. Julie?
Are we to assume that we'll simply be, if we do consider, or in considering STV, that existing constituencies or electoral districts will simply be joined, or
I think it's a kind of, that's a helpful way to think about it, that what that might look like. But I think that in any new electoral system, it would need to be a boundary commission that would make some kind of decisions, and they would draw the boundaries in the way they thought appropriate. Brad, sorry, well, you're always up there behind me, so
turn around next time.
Okay. He hides up and is always in that same seat, you know.
In our group yesterday, we discussed varied DMs across the province. However, we didn't have anyone from the north in our group, and we wanted some sort of feedback. Ray came up with a great diagram where he could vary the DMs across the province, but we wanted to know what the people in the north felt about having a larger district and at the same time only increasing your MLAs by maybe 1 or 2, going to from a DM of 1 to maybe a DM of 2 or 3 only, compared to the Lower Mainland where we may have a DM of 5. I could get some feedback from the people from the north, it'd be great.
Someone from the north want to speak about that? Michael.
My opinion on that is if we actually wanted to do the STV system and if we wanted to actually enjoy some of the benefits of proportionality, I think the minimum that you could do is three. And I think that would be, as far as I'm concerned, I think that would be very suitable as far as people could understand and be educated that we're not necessarily losing the representation, that it's actually just being amalgamated and, in some senses, improved. That would be my sense.
Amanda.
Kind of as a response to that, in our group, some people were thinking of going to a district magnitude of three, but my concern is that for the northern communities, proportionality is not a priority as local representation, and if I think the maximum we could do is two.
Harley?
Yeah, I think our group has sort of... I thought from our group, our preference was to go straight STV across the province. We looked at some of the others, the preferential plus and that type of thing. I think our group also wanted to hear more from the rural areas and really what their values were as a fallback situation. If we have to do something special for those areas, we were open to that idea. On the varied... district magnitudes across the province, we didn't think that there was any validity to having them all fives or all threes or anything like that. It could vary around the... But the idea, too, was to try to make the district magnitudes high enough to generate the... basically, the proportionality and as much of the STV dynamics that comes with that. And we need to hear a bit more from those rural areas on some of their issues of where they feel they are. And I was hearing that that was coming from some of the other groups that had more northern issues.
Maybe I could follow up with one of Harley's points and ask about the question about whether there's any sense that the district magnitudes would need to be the same all across the province. Does anyone want to argue that? So is there pretty widespread consensus that in... Oh, sorry, Darlene. Good.
I think essentially what we're wanting is to have an equal voice. Sorry. I think essentially what we want is to have an equal voice. And when you've got a very few people representing from the rural areas or further distant places, your voice really is minimalized when you've got a concentration of voices in one area.
Anna.
Well, on your question, I don't think it would work to have DMs the same all over the province, but I think it was pretty clear in our discussion group yesterday, and I think we had three from the north, or three from rural areas.
Is Quinnell from the north?
Yeah. You want to come up in January and see?
No, I just wasn't sure where you were starting then.
Anyway, there was some difference of opinion, but there seemed to be a general acceptance that STV would work for the north. Now, there is that one large riding where Michael's from. What is it? Skeena? Bulkley-Stikine, which would be absolutely enormous if you combined those boundaries. And there was seemed to be varying opinions on whether you could do that. But in general, some acceptance of the idea of increasing the district magnitudes up there.
Sally?
Oh, yesterday in our discussion group, we are giving consideration to those people in the north because we know very well that they are very rich and they are very well wanted here for all over BC. We don't want them to go to Alberta, so... because... we can see in the map that they are so close to Alberta, so we want them here. And we've been asking them, what is your most problem, and we want to help. Being a member of the Citizen Assembly, I would really like to recommend an electoral system that will work especially in the local representation, and which I know that they are very keen about that. They wanted their voice to be heard. So I said the North will speak up, and we will try to make more consideration to them.
Thanks, Sally. Bill?
Really, I think what we're discussing here is flexibility of the STV system throughout the province. I can't speak, for instance, for... I'm being censored here. Can't speak for people who live in Terrace or in the Kootenays. But it's really all based on geography, as that demographer said when we had him speak to us that Saturday night. East of the Rockies has a different geography, obviously, different economic centers than Prince George. Like, we have a sense of we're different from Prince George. We have different interests than they do. So we may, I would suggest that we may have to end up with, as long as it's flexible, there may be some ridings with a density of 2, some ridings with a density of 3 in the north. It's just whatever works for the geographic area. Thank you.
Okay, Douglas?
Devil's in the details. You keep saying that, Ken. I want to know the difference or the effect it would be whether a DM is a 2 or a 3, because we've heard that the odd value is an important consideration when you're considering a district magnitude. Like, the DM of 2 in the north would be great, but the 3 seems to be keep coming up. What is the reason between the difference between the odd and the even number?
Well, I suppose we know that the higher the district magnitude, the closer to pure proportionality you're going to get. Now, between 2 and 3, you're not moving a long way. And you can imagine in a district in the north with there were 2 large parties in a district magnitude of 2, you could kind of imagine what the at least the party distribution of those seats outcomes would be. You couldn't know who the candidates might be. But there's not a lot, really, basically, I think. I think that's the basic story. I mean, the proportionality depends not only on district magnitude, but also on the structure of the party system and how many parties and the relative size that are competing in terms of who's going to get that last seat, the 4th seat or the 5th seat.
For elections for the Senate in Australia, the Northern Territory and the ACT, the Australian Capital Territory, have 2 members. That means that if there are 2 big parties, they always win those seats. They're regarded as, and admittedly, if you have more people on the ballot and there's no, you force the parties to list more than 2. But what it means is you always have 1 government member and you always have 1 large opposition member. Now, that's better than not having, than only having 1, perhaps. But it means, don't forget, the threshold is a third. If 2 large parties get 30% of the vote, they always win those seats. Sorry to interrupt.
I thought that's what I said, but I was trying not to. Jay, I think, was next.
Our group had a fairly intense dialogue about the north and the district magnitudes, and we had several members that had some really strong feelings. And what came out was that if you can't make them smaller, then leave them alone. And they were perfectly willing to trade the proportionality for their local representation because they feel that the distances, if you enlarge those areas, they're threatened by having 2 or 3 members that come from over here, which may be 400 or 500 miles and live off a different economy, a different culture than where they live. And they really want to be able to have somebody that has local ties to their community. And if you have a 500-mile distance between communities, then somebody who lives over there does not live what they live on a daily basis. And I would like to put forward that whether we go STV or MMP, we need to take a serious look at having the Lower Mainland absorb those other ridings so that those people can keep their local representation.
Well, I think there's a lot of sympathy for that problem. I think the fundamental reality is that some of those parts of the province, their population as a percentage of the total population is in decline. has been for some time, and on a one-person, one-vote basis, the number of members they're going to have is going to shrink. I mean, that's just a kind of demographic reality, and the question is, and within that context, what system best allows them to find the kind of representatives who can speak for them? No matter what system you get, there's not going to be more members up there, and the districts aren't going to shrink over time as a proportion. The only way they can keep the same number of members they have over time is to make the House bigger, because their population as a proportion is shrinking, and that's the kind of fundamental reality. I don't want to cut it off, but I have the sense that there's not much support here for a notion that magnitudes need to be uniform across the province. It seems to be very. Is that right? Hands, just quick. Okay, so that's real clear that one of the virtues then might well be some possibility for variation to meet different kinds of needs, so that we're kind of agreed that varying district magnitudes across the province. And the question, I guess, is then what sizes? Is there an upper limit? Is there a lower limit? Maybe we could actually kind of come hard at the question of the north, because that's certainly been raised by a lot of members this morning. Is there a minimum size? Is one acceptable? Is it not? What would be the upper bounds? Because your report might well want to say that we recommend an STV system, that in rural areas and remote areas, that district magnitudes be no smaller than or no larger than. You don't have to actually identify what the magnitudes would be in any areas, which was kind of Jack's point yesterday. So is there a maximum district magnitude one could have in the north? A lot of people are shouting three, so...
I personally think it should be two, because I think that the local representation is more important to the northern communities than the proportionality.
Frankie.
Well, it's interesting, because in our discussion last night, and Jim and Bob spoke to this, and it would be interesting to hear what happened at public meetings in the north, because their experience when they went to the public meetings was, in fact, that people weren't as tied to their local constituents as we thought they were, that in fact many people said, it's not working for us anyway, and that they would be prepared perhaps to trade off. They liked the idea of proportionality. They didn't really want to give something up, that perhaps, giving up the local member wasn't giving something up if they were gaining something in return. And maybe some of the people who attended the meetings in the north could speak to that.
I think we had Rick next.
Thanks. It's my understanding that the ideal district magnitude is 5 for STV to operate its most effective. My problem for the north and regarding the north is DMs of 1, 2, or 3, that virtually shuts out a minority view as far as I can see. I don't see any avenue for a minority view in a small DM. I do in a DM of 5, which we've all agreed it's not something that we want to entertain, but this 1, 2, and 3 DM, again, we should be very clear that this shuts out any minority views in the north. Thank you.
Anyone want to actually address Rick's point? Amanda?
Insofar as minority views in the north, the odds are you'll actually only get 2, because all the 9 rural districts, in the past few elections, as Stephen pointed out in my group, because he's really brilliant, they all voted Liberal. But if there's 50% who vote one way and, say, 48% who vote another way, only 2% are minority views, and that's a very low number. For a district magnitude of 2 in the northern communities would really envelop that whole proportionality that is all that's desired up there, I think.
District magnitude of 2 in the north would produce districts about the size of the federal districts. That might be a way of thinking about it. Mary, what's next?
I think the flexibility is what we really need up in the north, and the district magnitude, and Bill spoke about it earlier. In our group, we talked about having 2 to 3 in the less populated areas, and 3 to 5 in the more popular areas in order to give it a balance, because I think that they do still want some proportionality as well, and as well as the local representation.
Wolf was next.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sometimes the answer you get depends on the question you ask. And if, Frankie, if the question was asked about whether people would like proportionality, they probably say, would say they would. But I'm not sure they always realize what they would have to give up. We've, in some of the information we got, the population in the North and South Peace ridings is 0.2 people per kilometer. In Vancouver Burrard, it's 7,116 per square kilometer. And maybe that'll give you an idea of what we would have to sacrifice in order to get proportionality.
Julie was next.
I was curious, in our group, there were a number of people from the North, and when we brought up the STV system, or STV-AV combination system that Nick Lunan had suggested, there wasn't a lot of interest, and it was referred to as two classes of members, which I'm not sure that that's true or not, but I'm a little bit curious if that particular blend of STV is just going to be, or not going to be considered. And I found it interesting. He did a lot of research. He visited the North, and yet that's not what I heard in our group. The feedback that we got is if we're going to go STV, then everybody should be STV and not Part AV, even though the preferential plus would probably allow for people to change the AV districts to change their mind later on. Any comment on that, please?
Oh, okay. Now, so I think what we're hearing really is that we've pretty widespread consensus that three would be the maximum. And then the question is one or two the minimum in northern districts? That's kind of what we're talking about. So Julie's maybe hit the nail on the head by saying, you know, is one on? I mean, is it a possibility? So that's kind of what we are focusing on. I think Fred is next.
Well, I think Julie pretty well said what I was going to say, but in any case, in our group, we did talk about perhaps using AV for the North and STV for the remainder of the province. However, we had several people from the North in our group, and they felt if we did that, then they would be somewhat left out. They felt that STV, if we went STV, we should have it across the province so that they would be included.
I think Harley's next on the list.
I'd just like to answer Douglas's question and make some comments on district magnitude of three. Campbell said that, talked about a district magnitude of two where you may end up with two safe seats for one for each of the major parties. And that's where the dynamics of STV comes out, is in the three-member district, because in a three-member district, the two major parties are going to have to run two candidates, or will probably run two candidates, maybe even three. And then you will get your minority parties running one candidate in those areas. And the real contest would be for that third seat, okay, because it could end up being one of the major parties could end up with two and the other party one, or you could end up a split of one, one, and one, and that third party, or that third seat going to a smaller party or to an independent candidate. So it changes the dynamics of the contest quite a bit, okay, and that's one point. On the district magnitudes, and when we're looking at whether it's one, two, or three, I think we have to go back to the idea of community and what makes sense for those communities on the map. And saying, you know, we talked about Peace River North and South, and that might make a nice, natural two-member district. Can we make that three? I don't know. But if it works better at two, that might work. And other areas may have to stay one, or if we can push it to three, that would be great. But that three-member district creates a lot more dynamics than the two.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, Harley. I think that we also want to remember, though, in a two-member district, the big parties would probably nominate two candidates.
Yeah.
And if you and Jack were the two candidates of, you know, the Millionaires Party, and thought that there was probably only one seat was going to be available to the Millionaires Party, you'd be competing with each other as much as with members of other parties, and you'd be doing that by attempting to provide better local service and representation. So there's that dynamic as well.
I'll also add that I know Craig Henschel's put on the discussion forum a lot of the electoral results from a lot of the rural districts. I think Jack's got some of them here beside me. And when you look at how the voters voted and the history of it, proportionality is more of a value in those rural areas than I think has been represented in the past.
Okay, we have Rob next, and then I think Craig.
My topic was already covered.
Okay, thanks, Rob. Craig H.?
Thanks. I looked at Nick Lonan's 9 proposed single-member ridings, and to look at how many votes counted for someone who was elected and how many were wasted. And in the last election, 2001, in those 9 ridings, 39.6% of people voted for someone who didn't win. And in the election before, in 96, 57.3% of the people voted for someone who didn't get to be an MLA. So there's an awful lot of people who are simply not represented by someone who has similar viewpoints.
Yeah.
Just a couple of things. Coming into this in January, I was of the mindset that local representation isn't a big deal for me. Months later, it's still not. I was in the same group as Julie yesterday, and I think I'm even more confused than ever, because my philosophy is just give them all a representation, because I was feeling that they need more, we need less. Coming out of our discussion group yesterday, I'm a little bit confused because I don't know where Tony is. Tony and I got a rapport going on. He confused the heck out of me. I think he should speak because he's up north, and also he was speaking about the two-class system and not wanting STV for his reason. So I think you need to put my mind at ease. The other thing is Mrs. Dixon, where's she? You had a really good idea yesterday about combining the two. I think you need to speak on that, because that was really good and interesting. I'm putting everybody
on. Maybe you can come and take Jack's job of keeping the list here.
And Tina. I'm going to put... She's going to kill me, but...
No,
she won't speak, but she also had very, very good ideas, too. So these people are the people that I really want to hear from all the other people, because I'm confused now, so...
Okay, I think Anne's on the list next.
Just speaking a bit more to what Julie was saying, I think in our group we did have discussions certainly about STV, AV system, but certainly I know my feeling and some of the other people there was that what we were doing was we were looking at mixed system, not a pure STV. And there certainly is some opinion that it's important to not have a two-tier system. And I think having a two-tier system in the province, I see that personally as being a last resort. And I think that we need to try to look at a system which can fit everybody, if at all possible, as a first option.
Thanks, Anne. Lil is next.
Actually, she almost said exactly what I was going to say. In a pure STV system, you can't have a district magnitude of 1. And so you would have to be looking at a mixed system to begin with. And if you're going to look at a mixed system, then, she said it much better than I can. We want to try and keep this proportionality as equal as possible.
Thanks. Lil Dawn is next.
In our group yesterday, we had a couple of people from the north, and when the idea came up of the STVAV, I got the impression that that was not really something that they would desire, simply from the point of view it does kind of make a tiered system, and it's sort of like you're a secondary type citizen.
Thanks, Don. And Anna, I think, was the last one on our list.
Okay. I was just...
I just wanted to talk about something that Wilf mentioned. You said that people in the North would accept more proportionality, but they don't know what they're giving up. And I think you're probably right, but I also think that they probably may not know what they could gain with a DM greater than one. And I think some of these things that I've learned that we could gain are greater voter choice, making certain people's votes count that have never, ever counted in the past. If you're part of that 68% in one of your examples, 68% of the people didn't vote for the MLA. And I think that we would still have a very strong regional voice because the MLAs owe their vote to the local people now, not to the party. So I think we don't need to be so concerned with increasing our boundaries if the dynamics shift and the people are going to focus more, or the MLAs will focus more on what the people want.
Tony.
Well, I just wanted to respond to my comrade over there. Everything has basically been said. We in the North don't want to lose our local representation. We don't think that a two-tier system is fair. We think that everybody should vote the same. And because of distances, you know, when you get these district magnitudes that you know, somebody said it, 500, 800 miles, that's just too far. Basically, everything that I've just said has already been said. I don't know what else I can tell you. Thanks.
Thanks, Tony. Well, we've had quite a round, I think, and so we're really kind of facing a choice about whether a district magnitude of one is acceptable. Remember, a district magnitude of one, it makes those districts majoritarian districts. It's a version of AV, in effect. So maybe we want to have a show of hands as to whether one is on or not. And if we say yes, then the range of these seats in these areas would be kind of from 1 to 3. If we say no, we're talking about 2 to 3 being the range that we think is appropriate for the seats in these kinds of areas. How many think a district magnitude of 1 would be acceptable under this kind of system? How many think that it would be unacceptable? That seems pretty overwhelming. Did I read the hands right? Okay.
What is the you're referring to areas in rural areas? You're referring to the rural areas where you're talking about district magnitude of 1 or 3. What's the cutoff for population?
Well, I think then we have to have that discussion. Sorry, Anna, did you want to? Okay, so we're really talking about that in some of the rural and remote districts, we would be recommending that district magnitudes be 2 or 3. Now, do we have a clear sense of what parts of the province that applies to? Does it apply to the Okanagan? No. Does it apply to the Kootenays? I mean, so these are kind of questions, and we could go through the whole province, but we need to think a little bit about what parts of the province we would want to designate as appropriate for these low district magnitudes. I think there's fair agreement that the North. Are there other areas that people would want to suggest that we would specify without kind of drawing precise lines, but we have some kind of sense? Douglas?
Well, we also want to consider the northern end of Vancouver Island, of course. It's a sparsely populated area.
Any thoughts on northern end of Vancouver Island?
Wouldn't it be quicker to identify the urban areas and then what's left over is...
Well, that, you know, we could go at it that way, Neil. George?
How about any area with a low population?
Well, that's probably not that helpful because rural populations in big parts of the province are intermersed with urban ones and big chunks of the Okanagan are like that.
The chiropractor behind you.
See, that's how he gets his business. You have to keep it.
Good one. If I could ask Ray to speak to it, Ray came up with a great model that he presented to our group yesterday.
And where did you cut it off, Ray?
Well, I'd done some assessment of trying to find the minimum sizes or maximum sizes. And I found that, for example, on the island, if you combined North Comox Valley and Alberni, you've got a fairly big area, or that's already now becoming an enormous area, and that would give you three. In the north, with the information I'd received before yesterday, which was everybody wanted local representation, I couldn't see a way of adding Buckley Valley to Peace River to get two, because it just seemed too big. But on the basis of the discussion I've heard subsequently from the people from the north, that they'd rather have some level of proportionality, then one would have to think of something as big as that in order to get a minimum of two. I don't think there's a way of getting three north of Prince George. Prince George could have three or four if it included Prince George North and Prince George Mount Robson and Peace River and Prince George Omnia, which again is an enormous area, but gives a district magnitude of four. The biggest problem after that tends to be the North Coast and Skeena. Again, that's an enormous area, and it's also going across different geographic and ecological systems in order to achieve it, and that's only two. But again, I think that's possibly a candidate for a district magnitude of two. Everywhere else, I think you can, if you take a, this is an interesting example, I don't know how many people follow these districts, but if you combine Caribou North, Caribou South, and go all the way down to Yale Lillooet, which again is now making that an area of enormous size, you could get a district magnitude of five. When you get to the lower mainland, it's easy. You can get district magnitude, I think, although in one of our discussions we had, and it was partly in jest, but there was no way Burnaby wanted to be associated with East Vancouver.
Well, yeah.
I know that.
I mean, you're right. You get into these kinds of local things. My experience on the Federal Boundary Commission is the Kootenays are, in fact, one of the hardest areas to deal with because the mountain ranges run up and down across them, and they are relatively underpopulated. And, in fact, drawing boundaries out there is the toughest. Well, it's a solution to say, to recommend to a boundary commission that they, in areas of low population density, and leave it to reasonable people's judgment, there ought to be district bags of two and three. Areas of a more substantial population density, then those numbers ought to be somewhat different.
Can we have two northerners that want to speak, Darlene and Wilf?
Okay. Darlene?
We're talking about population representation. Life today is changing from what it used to be. We're looking at people that have a bed in one particular location, but that's not necessarily where they work. And life is different, quite a bit different than it was, say, 10, 20, 25 years ago. And I wonder if maybe there's any kind of a way that we can incorporate your occupation into this. Or are we really stuck on where you go to bed? Going to bed is another issue in that there's a lot of people that work in one place, and they go home to sleep for maybe about four nights, and then they're gone to work again.
Will?
Probably the main reason, excuse my throat, I was listening too much last night. A lot of our problems that we perceive are caused by people making decisions on our behalf, and that's why we like local representation so much. What I see happening here is a lot of people making decisions on our behalf, and I really, in spite of people saying that, yes, there are people in North that like proportional representation, I'm not really sure you can conceive of the problems that we have up there. So I don't know if a show of hands in a situation like this, and I know you're all wonderful people, is the way to decide which areas should have lower DMs. That perhaps should, it would be more appropriately left to those areas to decide what would be good for them.
I mean, I don't think we can and aren't going to try and identify precisely areas. I think what we want to do is say if we can make some principled statements, and that might well be one of them.
But we're making a principled statement that perhaps a DM of 2 is what's appropriate, because or a maximum of 3. It may not be appropriate for the people who come from those areas.
I've got Ray, Julie, Jack, and Bob. Do you want to...
Did you want to say something more, Ray?
No, I appreciate a lot what Wilf is saying, and I think that's one of our dilemmas. The dilemma, however, is that we are sort of putting our hands up in favor of a minimum district magnitude of 2, believing that brings everybody into the same field as those who are having the STV process. And how that area is actually designated or worked out by the Boundaries Commission is something we would leave to them. But I think the northern people do have to sort of give us a bit more direction here as to whether they believe they want STV with a district magnitude of 2 as a minimum or not, or whether they think we have to retain a mixed system with 1 district magnitude in the north.
Julie's next on the list.
I'm just listening to Wilf and again listening to the people in our group, and I keep hearing this word class system, and I'm not quite sure why a district magnitude of 1 where you would have local representation, and I do see Nick Lunan's proposal as a somewhat of a mixed system, somewhat, but why these people are saying on one hand they want local representation, but they don't want to have... They don't want to entertain the proposal that Nick Lunan has put forth, and the proposal also included the option that these people down the these areas down the road could amalgamate into larger constituencies and have higher DMs. So I think Ray's right. We need to hear from the people from the north, not just Wilf. We all know what Wilf wants, but what about the rest of the people from the north?
Jack, I think, is next on the list.
Well, I wanted to support Wilf, but maybe in a way that he won't like, which is that I don't think we can decide this issue here today. But, Ken, I think you're right that it would be helpful if the Electoral Boundaries Commission that will have the task has some principles. And the principle I'd propose, I guess, for these difficult areas is that the presumption would be to design ridings with as large a number a DM as is reasonably feasible, but no lower than 2. Now, Julie's, I think, raised the issue of whether we reopen the question of whether we go as low as 1, which I thought we had already determined. If we go back to that, I want to reserve the right to speak to that one again.
Thanks, Jack. Bob?
Okay, one thing I think everybody's looking at 100% proportionality, and some of the people, I wasn't up in Wilf's area, but I was up in the Terrace Smithers area. Some of the people indicated that they would be willing to give up some local representation for proportionality. Now, if 100% proportionality is what we're looking at, I think we should back up. You know, otherwise we're going to be looking at these big areas. And so what if 1 or 2 or even 4 areas have a district magnitude of 1? What the overall effect on our proportionality isn't going to be that great. And it will still give the northern areas our local representation where we can still have that warm feeling about it.
Douglas?
I come from the higher density part of the north, so I don't know, you might not want to consider what I'm going to say as, I don't know, serious, but you got to ask yourself, when was the last time you contacted an MLA, and how did you actually communicate with that MLA? Did you do it by phone? Did you do it by email? Or did you talk to that person face-to-face? The last time I spoke to an MLA, it was by email, and I live right in the town where that representative comes from. With the modern technology we have, and I know dial-up modems and all that from way up in the north. Your email is going to be slow. But you still have that contact with that local representative, even though you live in a huge area. Second point. I may be wrong here. Straighten me out if I am. But if we have a current system right now where you have one representative from your current riding, if we go to a DM of two, basically you're incorporating two ridings together, and now you have two representatives. With that, you still have your own local representative to contact, but you have now a second person in case you don't get the response you want from the first person that you contacted. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Linda.
Well, what I heard from the people in our group from the north, and we had two strong members, was that they basically didn't want it any worse than it is now. And I think we have to be willing to give up something to make it, to not make it worse. And so that if that means a two-tiered system, it may not be desirable, and then they feel that they're being classed differently. But if you don't want it to be any worse than you've got it now, that may be the alternative.
And I think Craig, Shoney, Michael, and Rick in that order, so help me. Craig.
Yeah, thanks. It's kind of funny. There are two things we're essentially looking at. We're looking at the current kind of local representation, which we know isn't very effective because of party discipline. And from what I've read and talked to people about, I think the STV local representation is much more effective. You can have send an opposition person to do your bidding or a government person. You've got local proportionality. You don't have wasted votes. There's the actual effectiveness of local representation is much stronger in a two-member or a three-member riding. You get the same density of MLAs per voter. It actually gives the North stronger local representation than the current system, which we know is ineffective, and we see people who go at MLAs who go out and speak on behalf of their constituents getting kicked out of their caucus, and that's a lesson to all MLAs not to speak up. So we have an option here, an opportunity here, not to make a trade-off between proportionality and local representation, but to gain proportionality and to gain a much higher level of local representation, a kind of local representation which is actually effective. So the only argument is, do you need to have only one person? And is that desire to have one person so much stronger than your desire to have effective local representation?
Thanks, Greg. Shoney?
Craig touched on a lot of the things I was going to say. One of my thoughts in listening to everyone is we seem to be trying hard to make things no worse, but not necessarily considering that we could make things better for people in the north. That's the sort of anxiety that we've heard about representation doesn't come out of a complete satisfaction with the status quo. That anxiety comes of things already not working as well as possible. So I think there is a way of making it better. And Craig touched on a lot of the points of effective local representation. I was really curious about how, and we've heard a lot in STV, how it's in a party's interest to run candidates from a number of different communities rather than have everyone from one community. And I wanted to look at how that actually played out and looked at Ireland and mapped all the constituency offices for the candidates and or for the elected TDs, and found that although there were a number of parties in ridings, that the constituency offices still were spread quite well over the ridings, meaning that you're not running the risk of it all being concentrated, that the local areas are still being served, but that they do have choices. So it seems to be that within the system there are some controls to take care of that.
Ken, I'm going to give you the three names of persons who haven't spoken first yet.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, Michael, and then Michelle and Joanne.
Okay, Michael.
Well, basically, I was just going to say the same thing as Shoney and Craig, but one thing I would like to mention is that I would agree that I think that we can do something better rather than worse. Coming from the riding I have, I've never been represented. My local representative has always been of a party of someone else or some other party, so I would prefer to have someone that potentially could be representing me.
Thanks, Michael. Michelle?
From the southeast pocket of the province, echoing a lot of what I've just heard in the last few speakers, regarding the DM of one, it does absolutely nothing to make things better and more effective for local representation. Regarding the points on giving up some local representation to gain some proportionality, I'd like to shift that a little bit to what I've just heard the last few speakers say as well. How about gaining more effective local rep by gaining 2 to 3 representatives for your region, gaining choice on candidates, strengthening MLA's motive to be accountable to their region?
Joanne.
I was just responding to something Doug had said about having local contact with your representative. I don't think that's as important as the representative knowing your area. I think that's one of the things that the North is very adamant about. And I agree with Michelle and responding to Julie about the separate AV system. I don't think the North wants to be treated differently than everywhere else. I think we want to be included in the province as... and use the same system, so I think that that would be another way of separating us from the South.
I've got two more first-time speakers. Gladys?
Yes, I live on the 49th parallel, so I'm a long, long ways from up north. But where I live, about 2 miles from where I live, we've got people that can't afford power. We've got people that cannot get their telephone, and cell phone is out of the question. I understand the North's problems.
Thank you, Gladys. Deborah?
Yesterday we were trying to decide whether 2 or 3 would be better for the North, and we had a few members in our group. I don't know that if we... I think 2 could fly because the federal election changed the boundaries. So they've already done all their complaining about it, and I think they would accept that. But I don't know that we'd see much difference going to 3 than we would with 2 anyways. We're still going to get, I think, the NDP, the Conservative, and the Liberal vote happening up there. I don't think that we're going to see any small parties emerge from us having the benefit of a third area joined in. So since the areas are so huge, I think if we cap it at the 2... that would be good. That's it.
Well, I think you were saying that the people who drew the federal boundaries did a brilliant job. Is that what you were? Well, we had a really good discussion around the issues, and
Rick indicates he has not spoken yet. I know, but I've got about 10 people on the list, so we just took first speakers. So
Okay.
I just was going to try and see where we're at, because it does seem to me that we have kind of decided that. That we want all parts of the province to have an STV system, which means that the possibility of having some districts with 1 seems to be ruled out. And there seems to be pretty widespread agreement that boundary commissions are going to have to do this with real sensitivity to local concerns and local interests, and recognize that in the least populated areas, district magnitudes are going to be lowest. Maybe we might want to shift and say, is there a kind of upper limit to what we might think would be district magnitudes, and then we might then know what the parameters of the whole thing we were talking about. Would that be useful to try and identify an upper level as well?
Ken, I just wonder if I may. I know you're managing beautifully, but I'm wondering if, and I think that you summed it up quite nicely, but I wonder if we could hear from someone who really, really strongly holds the view that district magnitude 1 is absolutely essential. Could just, if their opinion has not been absolutely clearly stated as a minority opinion, we'd like to hear it. Does someone feel very strongly about that?
Wolf.
Thanks. I finally got recognized after I had my sign up for quite a while. Anyway, I feel strongly about it for the simple reason is it has been mentioned before that we need our local representative for many reasons which we cannot convey to you. And we feel basically is you want to give us a representation of 2 now, and our area is too big. It is too hard to go, even with the modern facilities, because our representative in our area, and even the federal who is now in Smithers, is so hard to reach by internet, by email, by whatever you name it. So our local representative, which in this case would be in Terras or in maybe in Kitimat, I don't know. And we all have a tie to our area because, for example, the people of Kitimat, the people of Terras, they built these towns. And they don't want to lose it because of a district market to it. I think what my feeling is in my area is that we rather for say partners, okay, whatever the word is, for our local representative. And on right now I'm sitting here and I'm not partaking because I have two questions in my mind. The first one is, on, according to Jack, I'm not supposed to do that. Am I a Northern BC or a British Columbian? And the second one is, I have to go back to my people and talk to them what they really want, because I hear people which were in our area say that people want to give something else for that, for losing their local representative. I am not sure about that, because the reading in my area is that we want our local representative instead of anything else. Thank you.
Anyone else want to argue strongly for that option in the north?
Bill does here.
Oh, sorry, Bill. Here you are.
I think Wolf said most of it anyway, but I'm going to repeat it. I don't think we should forget that local representation just isn't that a person from your party is elected. It's all the constituency services that that member gives. Just small irritants with, or big irritants with the government that you need someone to be your voice. And with deference to Doug here, not everybody in Northern Ridings has email. Some of them don't even have telephones. And we're talking huge distances. I mean, it's not like getting on the bus or the sky train and going somewhere. It can be 250 kilometers from where you live, at least, to the nearest center where there's an office. So the whole logistics are different, that you want someone you can talk to, someone you can bitch at if you need something changed. And the final thing I just wanted to say was, when we decided on our fundamental principles of local representation and proportionality, we've got a dynamic there that's, we can't have all of one or all of the other. So when we're working on local representation or on proportionality, we're never going to have pure proportionality without wiping out local representation or vice versa. And so we're arguing over the details of what mix that we want with reference to the North. And that's why I keep saying we really need flexibility on this issue. Thank you.
Well,
just to give you an example, if you call your MLA here in town, in Vancouver, what is the cost of the call? In our areas, every call to MLA is a long-distance call. Any trip we do to our MLA is a long-distance trip. So just take that, keep that in mind.
Ray?
Yeah, I'm hearing that the problem is not necessarily about the district magnitude as much as the difficulty of communications. And I'm wondering if there's something about other considerations that suggest special consideration for the North in improving the ability for the two members over that vast area to be able to communicate with their constituency members. And that would mean perhaps additional funding for local offices and assistance to people so that they could be a more direct form of contact, sort of guaranteed for the people across the region.
Okay.
You know, we have Wilf over here. Actually, when he was whistling last night, he was talking about something like that. So if you want to pick that up, that same thing, Wilf, that idea of something under other considerations about regions?
I know much of the world has gone high-tech, and email and internet and all this kind of stuff goes on. I've heard about it. But it's been mentioned, Bill mentioned, my power went off for 2.5 days just very recently. There was a foot of snow on the ground. My phone went off after a day. I don't want to dwell on that kind of stuff, but it happens all the time, and it happens more in areas such as the remote areas than it does in others. Doug mentioned that, and others have mentioned that it'd be a real advantage if you had two or more MLAs that you could go to, but it might also be a disadvantage, because I've heard of such things as passing the buck. And one MLA might say, no, that's that other guy's problem, and you won't have any representation anyway. So that's sort of an argument with two sides to it. I just have to go back to the idea that really perhaps people in areas such as mine are the ones that should have the biggest say in deciding what kind of a district magnitude we have.
Okay, I'm conscious of the fact that we're still dealing with one part of one system that may be one of the possible alternatives to the existing system. And that, you know, we're not making final decisions even on these parts now, that we're trying to kind of see if we've identified the basic framework. So maybe we could talk a little bit about the upper range of district magnitudes, and we know the kind of tentative preliminary maybe kind of sense of two, but there still is a case to be sort out about two versus one at the bottom. Is there a top to the range in any parts of the province that seem to?
I have four speakers on the list. Maybe it was the last. If it was the last question, they'll pass. But it's Chris, Diana, and Derek, and Brad.
Well, I mean, what we really hope to do is kind of get through all these and see at the end of the morning where we're at, and then kind of map it all out, and then revisit it the first thing next weekend and say, okay, is this what we've decided. So if we can get through them this morning, that would be really helpful, I think. Chris?
Well, that's sort of the item that I want to address. I was a proud northerner for 7 years living in Dawson Creek, and I understand the problems that they have up there. I probably bitched as loud as anybody. But we have to move on, and I don't think any final decisions are going to be made today. We're basically just creating philosophies of how these systems might work. And I would say that the expression, the devil is in the details, can we not surely work that out later in consultation with those people who are directly affected, but move on to other items so that we actually can go home today and say that we've accomplished something?
So does someone want to speak about the upper limit size?
Behind you. But quick, turn around.
Brad had his hand up first.
In our discussion group yesterday, we examined the upper limits for perhaps the lower mainland, and we suggested that we wanted it as high as possible to get a little bit better proportionality. Using the group quota, we actually came up with a number between 6 and 7 as being an upper limit, and we decided on 6 because if you look at Campbell's handout, under the droop quota, there was very little difference for the lower end between 6 and 7 of 14 and 13%. But if you look between 5 and 6, there's actually a 3% difference between 17 and 14%. So that's how we came to our idea of about 6 as a highest DM that we want to see in Lower Mainland or throughout the province. So open that up for discussion.
Sure. Thanks, Brad.
In our group, we talked about a range of 5 to 7 for urban.
David.
Thank you. David?
Thanks. Nick Lulin's presentation does actually have a couple of districts that are district magnitude 7 and a number of that are district magnitude 6. It's difficult for me to make firm recommendations, but I, if they make sense as communities, one I think was Victoria and one is Surrey, the seven-member districts, then I think seven would be an appropriate upper level. I can't see it going much beyond that. But what I wanted to speak to was the general mix. I think we should be trying to have more five and six-member districts and fewer four, because some of the benefits and the dynamics of STV really come into play the larger the districts you have. So I think my preference would be to tend to, where you can, to tend to push it a little bit higher rather than sort of keep it at the four level. So five, six, and seven, if it makes sense from the community perspective.
Other suggestions? Wendy.
This is related, but maybe not quite related. It would seem to me that one of the things we would need to have in our recommendations is some way of not allowing somebody to reduce the size of our DMs. If we have five and seven, then, you know, some governments down the line might want to reduce it. And so that's just a kind of related issue. Thanks.
Sharon?
No, I have a problem with six, because one of our reasons for doing this is proportionality, and I notice in the handouts that an even district magnitude reduces proportionality, so I think we should keep it to an odd number.
David?
I'd like to see some evidence that that was a problem anywhere before we make that decision about avoiding odd, even numbers.
Vicki?
I think with the larger increased district magnitudes, perhaps it would bring the people together who are actually sectioned off. If I know in the West Kootenays, if the district magnitudes were larger, perhaps the areas would come together more and work together, becoming larger amounts of people who can maybe have more power.
Julie?
Both Joanne and Linda made a point. We're thinking about the effects of the larger district magnitudes on ourselves, but the ramifications for elected members are also quite interesting. And it would probably take a period of time before they would get used to the fact that they are responsible for a whole area. And so I think the ramifications on the members is an interesting thought, and I think that it's just a larger area would be, as I said, would be good for all of us, but I'm not sure how effective at first it would be for the elected members or how effective they could be.
I mean, I think you're right, Julie, that in any change of the system is going to take one or two electoral cycles for people to kind of work out the most efficient strategies if you're a political party, the appropriate way of servicing constituents if you're an MLA, the most effective way to use your vote if you're a voter. I mean, it will, any change, whether it's STV or MMP or some other MM system, will change the kind of calculations and behaviors, and there'll be a learning process in terms of how the system works, and that's inevitable. That, whether it's a big change or a little change, it always drives those. Well, it seems to be hearing nobody's arguing anything larger than seven.
We have Bill. Harley want to speak. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I was going to say if we want greater proportionality, why wouldn't we combine the ridings of, say, Vancouver, Surrey, Richmond, and Burnaby together? And that'll give you a healthy dose of proportionality. Thank you.
Anyone have a reaction to Bill's suggestion?
I just want to make sure Wolf's sitting down here first. I'm just thinking what a strong, united voice the North would have if they had one large, multi-member region. Could that be called a Northern Caucus?
That's the... I think that's the answer to Bill. So we're kind of hearing that kind of seven sounds like the maximum, people think. And again, David making the point that people had made with respect to the small ones, that those boundaries would have to be done by a boundary commissioner with some sensitivity to, you know, the local realities and local members. But again, in the more populated areas, the larger magnitudes. Shoni?
Can I just ask one question about upper limit?
I know 7's the highest I've seen it go, but looking at the current ridings in Vancouver, there's 10 ridings. So is there a reason why you don't go higher than 7?
Someone behind you is muttering at you for an answer. Mutter.
My comment was for everybody was that I wasn't sure the west side of Vancouver wanted too much to do with the east side of Vancouver.
Okay.
In that case, we respect that East Vancouver doesn't want to have anything to do with the west side of Vancouver.
I'm not going there. Okay, well, we've actually had, I think, a very rich discussion about district magnitude from a whole series of dimensions. I think we have a kind of clear sense of general views, and we'll kind of pull these together, put them on paper, so you can look at them again in the context of decisions about other issues. Does somebody want to say one last word about this one, Derek? Go, Derek.
A bit of political history has been neglected in our discussion here with concerns that the North would be, if it was a district magnitude of 2, there would be an opposition and a government member. I think it was Peace River North and Peace River South both elected Reform BC. Remember them, MLAs, back in 1996. And I think it was Jack Weisgerber and Richard Neufeld. So, and I believe they place very highly in the rest of the Northern ridings. So there's no reason to think that these would be donkey seats for the two major parties. My fear would, in fact, be that there would be a rural rump party forming that would have no influence anywhere else in the party.
Okay. Can we move on to quotas? Okay. People have druthers between hair or droop quotas. This is where the kind of people who are really into the numbers, you know, can revel in the...
I can barely stand the excitement.
I love this stuff. I love this stuff.
Diana's first.
God help me. Our group got really confused, no surprise. In the handout, who wrote the handout for us? Was it you?
No.
In the handout, it says that Droop is going to... be the best one for small parties. In Farrell's textbook, he says Harris. Help us out.
I'm more sympathetic to Farrell's interpretation, so we'll let the man speak for himself.
I should say it's not something which is earth-shattering, the difference. With STV, one of the problems in trying to make generalizations is it does depend on how the parties are configured. So if you have two big parties and several small parties, there are different wins and losses, or more proportionality or less proportionality, than if you have, say, or you get a different result from any given district magnitude and any different formula, than if you have three even-sized parties or five if small parties are all of the same size. So some of the debate over the difference between Hare and Droop is a question of who tends to win. Now, the people who argue that Droop, Dr. Droop, Zoquota, favors large parties is that very often the real fight or the real competition in STV systems is over the last seat. And so it's kind of counterintuitive. The argument is that when you're allocating the preferences, if you have a small quota, Droop is slightly smaller than Hare, then the big parties tend to win out and get got a better chance of winning the last seat, whether it's 3 or 5 or 7, than small parties. The other approach, which is the one I favour and is the one the Australian systems have done, is saying, okay, that may be true. It depends on the configuration. But that really what's important if you're picking quotas is how you deal with a first seat that a small party may win. And to that extent, there is some argument that the Droop quota makes it slightly easier for a small party to win its first seat. But these are very esoteric differences. The other difference between Droop and Hare is Hare looks is
crude and straightforward. That is, you have a number of seats. If there are five seats, the quota is a fifth. Well, there's no point in having an STV system unless there's some complexity in it. No, I know, sorry. No, I retract that stuff. The thing with the Droop's discovery was that when you think about it, if you've got five seats, what you want is the smallest number of votes that only five people can win, only five candidates. And if you think carefully, after having a coffee, six people can get a sixth of the vote, but only five people can get a sixth of the vote plus one vote. So Droop's quota is based on the principle of the smallest number of votes that only five people can get. That's why it's the DM plus one. And I think, as they say, it's a horrible word, the optics are that Droop looks as though, it may actually be, but it certainly looks as though it's slightly easier for a small party to win its first seat.
Everybody had their coffee? David?
I've probably done more work on these quotas than most.
And I'm confused.
In Diana's comment, if you have a PR list system, it is absolutely true that the hair quota will be more friendly, more proportional for small parties than a Droop quota. But there are some fundamental differences between STV and a PR list in that the votes in STV don't transfer necessarily to a member, a candidate from the same party. The latest numbers I've seen from Ireland suggest that maybe only 65% of the vote transfers to a member from the same party. And you do get ballots that get exhausted in the sense that you may have cast a preference for five candidates on the ballot, but those five candidates may get eliminated in the first two rounds, and your ballot no longer counts. In Ireland, I think my analysis there says basically about 5% of the ballots become exhausted. So given those two situations, you can't necessarily make a direct comparison. Every STV system in the world that I know of, maybe Campbell or Ken will enlighten me, but I think they all use the Droop quota. I don't think there's sufficient evidence to suggest for anyone to understand what might happen in STV if you use the hair quota. And given that the situation is slightly different, my suggestion is we stay with the Droop quota.
Anyone, we've had a case for the Droop quota. Do you want to make a case for the hair quota, Harley? It starts with H, too.
Yeah. Hair today, gone tomorrow. I thought one of the biggest things our discussion group did, and maybe we're a bunch of practical people, is we thought that, you know, once we're comparing this system to the next system, if this system gets chosen, let's go into the quotas then. And, you know, get into those really devilish details then. And so we did look at Droop, but we did kind of say that before we really bog ourselves down, and maybe even today bog ourselves too much with the quota, is to maybe look at it when it really needs to be looked at.
Let's don't do today what we can do tomorrow. I mean, we're running out of tomorrows, but okay, fair enough. But I don't hear strong feelings one way or the other on this particular issue, and you know the difference. Okay, I hear them. And the differences are relatively marginal, particularly in given district magnitudes. Well, what about ballot form? Because here we're clearly into a interesting question about how candidates can be put on the ballot, and there's certainly quite different experiences. The Irish simply use alphabetical listing of candidates, irrespective of party. Some organize them by party. Some provide randomization, so each ballot paper has a slightly different order, so there's no what the Australians call donkey voting. And I suppose those keen on NOTA could have that as an option at the bottom as well. Amanda?
Our group enjoyed this discussion, but we eventually decided that we like them organized in parties, but the parties were all random, and all of the names with the candidates within the party were all random. And I personally like the idea of having pictures by them.
Okay, we have Jerry, Don, and Leah.
Okay, Jerry?
Our group fairly broadly supported the idea of randomization. There was some discussion related to the list system and the other models that were on there, but as a general consensus, we had that whatever the ballot looks like, it should be randomized.
Jerry, who is it? Sorry.
Don.
Jerry just pretty well covered everything.
And then Leanne and Carrie.
Leanne?
Jerry spoke mostly for what our group was thinking about, but I personally, the first, the more confusing ballot, I preferred simply for the fact that because it was more confusing, you had to spend a little more time.
By that, you mean the just straight alphabetical list of candidates? Or even randomized. Not organized by parties.
Organized by party, okay. Still random, with party affiliation, obviously, but you'd have to spend a little more time looking, and you couldn't just...
Okay, Carrie, and Derek, and Michelle, and then Coffee.
Would there be a perverse effect if there was no minimum on voters' indication on a ballot versus the size of the DM?
Can you say a little bit more?
If the DM was 5, we had a discussion as to whether there should be a minimum number of indications from a voter to be 5 or more. Would there be a perverse effect if a voter only indicated 1 or 2 or 3 instead of 5?
I think not, but we will come to that on the completion rules because different systems do use different standards about that. You know, some countries require you to fill out them all. Some say just as many as there are people to be elected, and some say as many as you want. It's your choice. But that's the completion rule. We need to kind of know how they're going to be organized first, maybe. But I think the basic answer to that is that there probably aren't perverse effects. I mean, the fundamental principle is that you can't hurt your candidate by adding more preferences. And if you decide you don't have any more, you can stop. And someone else's preferences are going to make decisions. Was Derek next?
Yeah, Derek.
Is a random ballot used anywhere? I'm just curious because my intuition would be that it would really muck up the counting process. I like it, though, but I'm just curious.
Here he comes.
he was hoping you'd ask.
Guess where?
No, it doesn't slow down the counting process. All voting systems, I think, sooner or later will be scanned, at the very least scanned and computer counted. In Tasmania and in the ACT, they have this thing called Robson rotation.
Tell them what the ACT is.
Yes, which means that the Tasmanians, because they've been doing this for a while, they have 7 members, say, for most of the period since the war, and you had to fill in 7 squares, and so that means candidates, the party has fielded 7 candidates. And some of the candidates felt that it was unfair, not that they weren't on the top of the list, although most candidates wanted to be there, but they found that it was unfair that if you happened to be underneath a really popular candidate, like the premier or a well-known personality in the region, if you were the candidate immediately below that one, then you tended to get more votes. So the Tasmanians said, right, they toyed with various ways to stop this, like having circular ballots and various other things. And then they said, now what we will do, we know that there are 3 positions on the ballot that are favored, first, second, and last. And so what the Robson rotation does is make sure that every candidate has an equal number of ballots printed with their name first, second, last, and somewhere else. And it, Tasmanians are no different from you, perhaps, you know, some of them have 2 heads, maybe a bit smarter, but I can say that because 2 of my kids are Tasmanians. The voting doesn't take any longer than if they were done otherwise.
Michelle is last.
So that is by rotating. What that means is that every single ballot paper has a different order in the candidates, and the one you get will depend on, you know, when you come into the polling booth. Michelle.
I'm interested in if we choose STV, accommodating those voters out there that do not study candidates, do not know a whole lot about who the candidates are in their area, especially when there's a lot more choice, and those voters who like to vote for their party. So I see an I'm not sure if this is correct or not, but I see a possible advantage for those people if the party is allowed to rank the candidates in order how they prefer. So voters who vote for the party line know that on the ballot, if they choose the top candidate under the party, they know that that's what the party wants. And for those voters out there who do study the candidates and they know a lot about it, they're going to look for the name, whether it's on the top or in the middle or wherever.
Okay, good
okay,
point.
One
point to follow up on Michelle is that under this system, the candidates are going to have a lot more incentive to let the voters know who they are, because they're going to be looking for the first or second preference. So the candidates are going to pay a lot more attention to the voters. Whether the voters pay any more attention to them, of course, is separate. Jack says we have coffee till what?
Till 10:30. Got four names on the list, but we have coffee in the concourse. Be back at 10:30.
And we'll come back to candidates and completion rules.